Brother and sister, and let me read the text once again in English and just try to familiar with the text first. So, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. His husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. In North America, and especially in the North American education system, one thing that I'm not quite conform to them or not quite agree with what the educational system here is. They just try to teach the kids to keep talking in the class. They keep talking and talking and talking and talking and without any solid foundation. When I was in high school, you know what? In the first day of school, the class have a board on the blackboard. The teachers just write a word on the board and said, "Globalization." And the whole class is about an hour, and then you know what in this hour? Of course, I have so many learning on globalization before I went to high school because I'm from Hong Kong. I got my first year university of study or in geography. I know what's going on exactly. But the teacher said, "This class is for you guys to figure out what's the meaning of globalization, and then you need to present at the end of the class." And so several students joined together. I'm one of them. And then you know what? We start to talk about what we are going to present. You know what they start to do? Most of them, they have no data, no actual fact. They try to build up with the meaning of globalization. They just keep talking and talking and talking about global, globalization, global, what is a globe and what is the globalization in their own terms, but no data, no solid material to support their arguments or what they just told in the discussion. So at the end of the class, I'm not picked as a presenter. Another group member in my group, he volunteered to be a presenter. And so you know what? He keep telling the whole class something is totally no support at all. But the teachers finally said, "This group has the best excellent presentation." You know what? We spend too much time on talking and sometimes just tell the people what I thought, but we didn't actually do studies and think about it or even pay attention to other people, especially has a good ear to listen other people. Today, while I'm talking about this experience, a passage that we were going to read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. This is a very unique passage. If you read this passage once again, you will notice a very unique feature of this text. Those key characters, they have not even one word has been said in this passage. Why? This is also the highlight of this passage. This passage, I believe that the author, Matthew, tried his best to highlight the most important teaching in Christian life is start to have a good ear to listen to the Lord. Otherwise, we just go in our own way. Like a lot of people, they said, I preach the gospel, but they never heard exactly what the gospel is. And they preach something called gospel, but in fact, it's not the gospel. They're just spreading a rumor. So let's go back to this text, and then you can see this very unique feature. You know what? If you are one of the drama script writers, I think for sure, in such kind of scenario or setting, you will try your best to provide the best lines for the characters to say, right? So in order to make the drama more dramatized, and then you need to give them some words to stimulate the readers or the listeners' ears. But Matthew didn't do in this way. He just tried to record other people or other characters saying except the major key characters. So go back to this text. In the beginning, you can see that in verse 18 to verse 25. What we have read, what we can read it from this text is just talking about the origin of Jesus Christ. He's a Messiah. And the case is when before he born, his mother, Mary, engaged to Joseph. But before they lived together, he was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. You know, I preached this passage so many times that I can't number it even though. But you know, this year when I read this text once again, I find a very special teaching here. Just by these words. Can you notice that? Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Who find it? Is that Mary herself? Joseph? No, we didn't see Joseph. No, she was conceived at this time. Because he knows he has a baby after that this baby is from the Holy Spirit. So who found it? The author Matthew tried to highlight this point. We, as the reader of the Bible, we need to listen carefully, very attentively. Who found Mary God conceived? I think God knows it. And later on, the author knows it. But why they know it? What's the purpose? Carry on to read the following verses. Verse 19, talking about Joseph, he is a righteous man. Oh, this is a very interesting description, but I will talking about that later on. He has an idea. He didn't want to expose Mary to the public so that she will be very disgraceful among the people. So what he tried to do, he tried to dismiss her quietly. But at this time, the first dialogue, I should be saying that, the first monologue that we can read is by the angel. What the angel said to Joseph in his dream. He said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Wow. When you heard this, suddenly you understand there is something very special. God has his work through Mary. Second thing is, she will bear a son, not a girl. Not a girl, it's a son. And you are to name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. Not other names. Jesus only. For he will save his people from their sins. So, brothers and sisters. So the first part that in this message tell us, very important, is we need to understand thoroughly about what the Lord wants us to know. Besides that, in this text, also highlight at the later part, you can see that there is a quotation from verse 22 to verse 23. This quotation is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A lot of Christians, when they read this text, this type of text, they will say that, oh, you see, this is what we should learn from the Old Testament. In Old Testament time, the Lord already told us that there is a guy, his name called Jesus, he will come. So this is a prophecy that in Old Testament time already, Jesus in the Old Testament time. So here, fulfill it. No, sorry. This is not the purpose of this quotation. You know, a lot of people, they say that, oh, this is a kind of confirmation that in the New Testament to confirm that Jesus Christ is already prophesied in the Old Testament text. No. This is one of the memoir that by the author Matthew. He recalls, when he tried to report this incident, he recalls that some passage that also seems related to Jesus Christ. For example, like here, said, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they should name him Emmanuel. You know what? The author understands something related in the Old Testament time. I think for sure that even Joseph, he may have the same or similar ideas in his mind. But what Joseph had done later. Let's finish this passage. Verse 24. Joseph woke from sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son. And he named him Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when you heard something from God that tell you to do something, but in your mind you have your own understanding between these two, which one that you should choose? Your understanding of the Old Testament text or the word from the Lord? Of course, now all the word revelation has been finished and all reported in the Bible. So today, no more new revelation. We no need to say that, oh, today I have another revelation from God, so all the Old Testament, New Testament can be write off. No, we don't have that privilege. But at the time of Joseph, he has this experience. But he keep an open mind to receive the word of God. He didn't box himself up in a closed box, that this is my understanding of the Old Testament. I follow the Old Testament text. So you see, I'm so religious that the Lord should be happy. No. He choose to follow the most recent revelation of the Lord through the angel. So he didn't name Jesus as Emmanuel. He named Jesus as Jesus. He just followed the instruction of the angel, that the angels told him that receive Mary to your house and a son will be born. This son is from the God, is the son of God. But your obligation is name him under your family. Even though this son is not through you, but it's under your family title. So brothers and sisters, in this text, two important lessons that we need to learn from it. The first thing is, we need to keep an open heart to listen to the word of God, but with very attentive mentality. Don't just impose our own understanding to the word of God. He has his teaching, he has his instructions. We always need to keep our open but attentive ears. Listen to his word. The second lesson is, we need to follow exactly that what God asks us to do. Even though you can have an alternative to stay away from his instruction, but this is a time to give you a lesson to challenge your obedience. What is the best way to train your kid to be an obedient person? I have one experience that I share with you guys before, or with other people. I want to train my boy that he will not eat any more chocolate. So what I should do? I told him that don't take my chocolate on the countertop, but obviously to put over there. If he can follow my instruction, in fact he can, right? He success. I put all the chocolate on the countertop. I said, don't touch it. He never touched it. Of course, he can come to ask me, can I have one? Of course, I can let him to have it. But the best way to train our obedience to the Lord is, when God's saying in this way, and we heard something about from elsewhere, do we still stick with the lost word, or we just go another way that the people deem they are more authoritative? A lot of Christians, they just follow the saying of the pastors. My last statement is, you should, as long as his sayings are from the Bible. So let's always keep these two important teachings in mind. Keep an open but attentive mind to receive the word of God. The second thing is, keep our strictest obedience to the Lord. So before we switch back to the Chinese sermon time, we have a prayer to prepare our heart to learn these two lessons good. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us this passage as a reminder for us to see that our life should be based on your word instead of just based on our own preferences. We also thank you that you give us during this Christmas seasons that we can once again through the birth of Jesus Christ, that we can see our hope is always hung on Jesus Christ himself only. So help us that we always have an attentive ears and spirit, so that we just go with your instructions, that we can learn from the Bible instead of based on any human authorities or based on their popularity. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.